Welcome to the Beyond Body podcast with your hosts, Mia and Holly. Join us for a sometimes fortnightly podcast
where we explore all things mental health, being a messy human, and how to get the most out of this one precious life.
And all the ridiculous stories in between.
Well, welcome everyone.
Welcome.
To December, to another Beyond Body podcast. We're aware it's been a hot minute. Also, welcome to summer, to generally warmer nights.
Yes, I'm hoping I look like I have a dewy glow and that I'm not just sweating profusely.
It depends how you, all that matters is what you think.
Yeah, I think it's a dewy, youthful glow.
It's a very dewy, youthful glow.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
Which makes sense because everyone, it's Mia's birthday today. Girl in the house.
That's right. I can't think of anywhere I would rather be. We're starting the day off doing our podcast recording. We've got a training at the end of the day. I'm going for lunch with my girlfriend Josie and her daughter Nina, who's like my niece. So I'm going to be with my two favorite girls and then a few drinks tomorrow night. But I'm just waiting to get to Lord Howe, to be honest. I'm on a speed run to next Saturday when I get on the plane and head off where they have no cell phone coverage and very little internet access, which is my dream. So yeah, I'm very, very excited. It's the end of the year. So I think it's really beautiful that we've got a chance to sneak this one in for everybody.
Our last little one of the year. I think it's really nice when you have a birthday and it's just a small sort of experience, because then you know you have something bigger on the horizon.
I've never resented like having a just pre-Christmas birthday, because I'm not great with like accepting presents or any of that sort of fanfare. It makes me incredibly uncomfortable. And you can tell I'm not good at hiding it. So I've always liked that I could always like sneak in my kind of introvert birthday celebrations, because that's how I want to celebrate it. Like no surprise parties. I think I got one once and I had a panic attack and I wouldn't come back into the room. I was about seven. But yeah, we like the low key kind of element of like just pre-Christmas, just sneaking a birthday in there.
I also hate the idea of surprise parties, unless it was like bells and whistles and there's like 200 people there, which would never happen because I don't know 200 people. Yeah.
I like to do like the surprising or like the organizing of someone else's stuff. So like if I could organize my own surprise party, which would make it totally redundant, that would be a dream. But no, please, this is a call out to anybody who knows me. No more surprise parties. We tried that at seven. I'd still have the same reaction, panic attack, book it out, not coming back. See you later.
And things just never change. But do you know what it's always been? This like fantasy of mine. I've literally had dreams about this. Mm. If one day it was like a birthday or something of mine, and then there was like a flash mob. Like I've always wanted to experience that. If you were just walking somewhere and there's just a huge surprise flash mob around you.
Whatever happened to flash mobs?
I don't know. I would love to witness
past
one.
Time.
I would also love to be involved in one. If anyone has any leads for me, how do I do it?
I think we could organize that. I'm sure there's someone watching who's got some kind of like connection to an existing flash mob. I don't know how many of them are around these days, but I'm sure we could figure it out.
Yeah, hit me up.
Yeah.
I'm interested. I'm in the market.
Got an interesting community. It's out there.
Hey, so what are we actually talking about today?
We are talking about a few things. I think if we kick off with sort of the holiday chat, this is obviously a period that involves some pretty, eating disorder and recovery relevant areas like food, like getting people together, like extended family coming together, extended family who we know, but we don't really know them. And it's awkward and uncomfortable, and maybe they're not very sensitive to our boundaries. So there's a number of things that we can cover. And I think we're going to do some reflections on our year and encouraging others to have a reflection on the year of 2023 and maybe setting some intentions for 2024. But yeah, important for us to talk about the Christmas and holiday period. What are sort of your thoughts about how you're preparing clients for the Christmas and like holiday season?
So I think, you know, at this time of the year, I think even as soon as we hit December, it's like, okay, everyone just sort of by default falls into the doing too much and super, super busy. And there's almost this expectation to catch up with all these friends before Christmas, as if you're never going to see anyone again. Mm-hmm. So even if we just look at it like firstly from a like physiological standpoint, realistically, it's pretty likely that you're maybe already going into a bit of burnout even before the season begins. Yeah. And even that just comes from work deadlines. And if you have kids and they've got school things and buying presents and also, you know, going out more, maybe drinking more, maybe sleeping less as well. These are all things that it could potentially could make you a little bit more vulnerable than going into, you know, what is known as like the silly season. I think there's so much expectation for this time to be a really joyous time. And for a lot of people, it is going to be, but also for a lot of people, it's not going to be. Mm. And just being real about that, I think is really, really important. And I think when we have a higher level of stress, which often happens at this time of the year, it's important to match that with a higher level of self-care, which is often not the case. Often the self-care stuff is the first thing to go. So I even think like this time is about just protecting your recovery, not necessarily advancing it, and even just protecting your energy. Even if we're looking at, even if you're not someone who's in recovery, just from a general mental health standpoint, there's a few things to be aware of just so that you can stay, you know, as possibly grounded as you can through this time. So I think what that actually could look like is, first of all, being aware of what your capacity is. Like, I'm such an introvert and I very much have a capacity of how many people I can hang out with before I'm like, whoa, I hate everyone.
You'll never hear from me again.
Yeah. So even just being aware of that, okay, this is, you know, these are the events I'm going to go to. These are the events I'm not going to go to. I'm going to drink at these ones. I'm not going to drink at these ones as well. Mm-hmm. And then particularly when you kind of in this, you know, we're mid-December right now, this is the time where everyone's sort of finishing up for the year and maybe going into a little bit more of unstructured time, like the holiday time. Mm-hmm. And that in itself can feel a little bit daunting, particularly if you're someone in recovery who has worked really well with structure and with routines and you've been developing them over the year. So I think one of the first things is very much thinking about how can I take the routines that I've built up over the year and then put them into this time, right? And that might be as simple as making sure you're having a morning check-in, like a mental, emotional, physical morning check-in. How am I feeling across all these planes? So you can then just have those moments of pause as you're coming into the day. So that I feel like just setting a bit of structure where you can flex your structure, of course, is super, super useful coming into the holiday time.
Completely. And, you know, you and I have had this discussion about not just what I sort of see as my approach to client work around the holiday season, but also what we wanted to talk about today. It's why we're not doing a full deep dive on here's like the survival guide for Christmas and here's how you must challenge yourself, because there's so much of that around and it's so much when there's already so much going on that my approach is always, let's actually chill out. Like, let's actually take a beat and a breath and look for opportunities to, yes, use this to maybe strengthen our recovery. But a lot of strengthening your recovery is building in time where you're stabilizing, where you are just leaving space for being able to pay attention to the progress that you've made, how much more connected you might be able to be this Christmas versus last Christmas, not putting pressure on yourself to think just because an event has come around. I see this a lot when people go on holiday or Christmas rolls around or an event comes up. They think that because the event has arrived that they need to be more recovered just by virtue of the fact that it's this milestone event. And it's like, it's just another day. It's just like April 10th or September 4th. Like, it's not any more significant in terms of like speeding up your recovery or mounting bigger expectations all of a sudden just because it's Christmas. Christmas is just another day. Yes, it can have some built-in challenges, but that's also why I don't set any specific additional goals or challenges for clients, because there are built-in challenges there. And one of those challenges is chill out a little bit. It's okay to think that Christmas is going to be enjoyable. Sometimes I think about, we talk about recovery at Christmas being, and then people are like set up for believing this is going to be awful, this is going to be the worst thing ever. And it just doesn't have to be.
Yes. Couple of things I want to expand on there is, I think it's really easy for everyone to go into that doing too much mode. And I get it. If I was saying this 5 years ago, it would sound a little bit rich coming from me, because historically I have been an absolute psycho at Christmas. I'm the person, I want to make my own wrapping paper and I want the Christmas food
that does not surprise me at all.
Psycho, Holly. But the thing is, what I've learned through countless times is that I just need to do less to be more. Because if I'm so focused on how well the salmon is cooked, I'm going to miss it. Like, I'm just not there for the moments that actually matter, right? And I think it's so easy to just be on all the time. And another thing that kind of influences that is it's really easy to overconsume other people's lives at this time of this, right? Yes. Like, everyone's like posting on social media and all these things, and it can be really easy to almost for that to then give you the sense of disconnect from your own life. And I think there's a big difference sort of between looking at social media too much and feeling really disconnected from life, and then actually intentionally putting social media away for a little while so that you can reconnect with your own life and your immediate life and what's important. Because we know what social media does. It just increases comparison. And realistically, we've already got a bunch of hurdles that we're working with at this time of the year. Just be aware of the behaviors that aren't necessarily disordered or sabotaging, but they can be the behaviors that are the precedent to disordered behaviors, right?
Yes.
And that is even things like too much social media, too much drinking as well.
Absolutely. And I think that if people take the approach that, like I said, because I love that language, I always love, you know, that term, like protecting your recovery as if it's the most precious thing you have, because it is. And that's the other thing, like that doesn't change because it's Christmas either, right? Like it is still the most precious thing you have, but we just don't need to mount the level of pressure and like perfectionism on ourselves that I think we see showing up a lot this time of year. And what I really, and here's the thing, the caveat is when we say like, chill out, relax into your recovery, don't put any more pressure on. This isn't also us saying and go and unlock the back door and leave it wide open for eating disorder self to sneak in. Of course, that's not what we're saying. It's, you know, a little bit of like the management, maintenance and management stuff that we've talked about before. Like, you know what you've already done, you know what's in rotation, you know what you're eating is probably supposed to look like and what your level of exercise, agreed level of exercise is supposed to be. That doesn't change. That does not change over this period. So it's not saying, okay, well then, you know, recovery pedal comes off completely. It's more like you're just kind of keeping the car running, but we're not hitting the accelerator at this point. We're just like letting it idle, but we're certainly not going to let it roll backwards down the hill.
Yes. And I think what can support not letting it roll backwards down the hill is, first of all, being aware of your mindset going into this time. Because I think if, you know, Christmas has previously been a stressful time for you in your recovery, it can be really easy going into this time with this fear-based mindset. And it's just good to have the awareness of how that mindset is actually going to influence what happens, right? Because just because Christmas has historically been a stressful time for you, it actually doesn't mean that every Christmas has to be that. That you actually do have the capacity to rewrite your story and create new experiences. And maybe it's not cool this Christmas, I'm fully recovered, I'm eating all the things and I'm not thinking about my body at all. Like, let's be realistic here.
If it wasn't happening the week before, it is not miraculously going to happen the following.
I mean, we're no Christmas miracle, but
no, we try, but no. Completely. I think one of the things that's been helping with clients when, you know, obviously like in the sessions preceding Christmas and the holiday season, we do unpack like, what are some of the sensitive points? Are there potentially going to be family members around who we know really are like consumed by diet culture or comment on bodies and all that sort of stuff? So obviously we unpack having boundaries, giving yourself permission to walk away from those kinds of conversations, advocating for yourself where that feels validating, not advocating for yourself if you know that conversation is actually going to end up in a screaming match and make you feel worse than when you went into it. Having boundaries people know about, the ones you can safely express and that you're pretty sure are going to get affirmed and respected, and the ones that people don't know about, which is changing the subject, getting out of the room, having a family member who's like your point person who you can go and have a vent and a complain about the other family members too. Having some of that stuff in your back pocket, super, super important. And also when eating disorder self feels like it's starting to hijack a moment, or, you know, even like you were saying, with sometimes we even get stuck in the minutiae of the stuff, right? Like the detail versus the actual experience. It's what I call anchor points. Like, what are some of the anchor points that you can look out for in your Christmas? What are some of the experiences that you know you're going to want to remember in 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years? Like opening presents with your child, or, you know, sharing a laugh with a relative you haven't seen for ages. So being able to have those anchor points that you can look out for, because in 10, 20, 30 years, not only will you not want to remember the eating disorder chatter and the minutiae of all of its rules, etc., you probably as you continue down the recovery path, you're not going to remember it. So make sure that you're anchoring yourself back to the things that are connected to those healthy self values.
Yes. And just on that as well, I think it's very important to be aware of your triggers. Don't walk around hoping to not get triggered, but rather expect that that may happen, but also that, you know, you do know how you would ideally like to handle that situation without it necessarily negatively implicating your day. And, you know, the whole family piece around it, it can be really, Christmas is this weird experience where you're spending time with, you know, your family. And for a lot of people, they're actually not the people whom you're closest with. Mm-hmm. I think growing up, I always really struggled with this, that it's this day where we all have to come together. But realistically, some of my extended family, like, don't know what I do for a job. And I didn't know that someone had a double knee reconstruction this year. Like, it's this weird thing. I think I said to you before, there's no other dynamic I've ever had in my life where I feel so equally known and unknown at the same time. And it's this really interesting thing. So it's sort of like you're put in this space, this like little incubator period, and you don't necessarily know how you show up authentically with these people as well, but then you're also doing a lot of this inner work with your recovery. And it's this really interesting experience, but I also think it is an experience where potentially, you know, you can grow. And maybe it is the year, if there is that level of disconnect with your family, which I know there definitely was with mine for a few years, it has shifted in the last few years, but maybe it is the year where you're the person that actually asks, like a distant relative, like, how are you really? Like, how was your year? What's important to you? And be the person that really instigates that level of connection. Because like you were saying, like, this is what this is about, you know, at the end of the day. It actually doesn't matter how perfectly cooked any of the food is. Like, you're actually not going to remember that, right? Like, you're either going to remember like the important moments and moments of connection, or you're going to remember when things go wrong. And that's also okay. Can guarantee at all of my family Christmases, like, someone's going to forget to buy some crucial ingredient, and someone's going to have a blow up, and someone's going to get in a political argument way too early in the day.
Probably like cracked the wine before midday.
well,
that's definitely not me. I've never done that at Christmas. I've never, ever consumed alcohol at Christmas to deal with my family ever. I think it's a blend of those things. It's, you know, plan accordingly. Take the pressure off, try to be as present as you can be. But the most important thing, like, just manage your expectations in the sense that, like, don't have too many, just kind of learning to go with it and see what you can learn as an investment in next Christmas.
Absolutely. And just, it's also, you know, is a time when people do start to slow. It can be a space where a lot of feelings that you haven't had time to feel during the year can come up. And I know a lot of people feel quite lonely in the holidays, or it can be quite a big grieving period for a lot of people. So just being kind with yourself, knowing what are your non-negotiables in terms of self-care? Yeah. What do you actually have to do to remain connected with yourself when there's a lot of external stuff going on? And just also a bit of a shout out to any single parents during this time, or even like family, like separated families as well. Mm-hmm. It can be a really difficult time for a lot of those people. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, being able to find the beauty in it where you can, but just being kind with yourself through it. I think, you know, I really made this commitment to myself a few years ago that I didn't want to miss family experiences anymore, because my internal world felt like it was more important than my values. Mm-hmm. And I think since I had that shift, which would have been like 5 or 6 years ago, it has very much changed how I relate to the day as well, as opposed to coming into it with this big fear-based mentality, but rather being like, okay, you know, it's going to be difficult, and yes, there's going to be these different challenges, but also it's not every day that, you know, family get to come together in this way as well.
Yeah. I think definitely taking into account that it can, you know, we may have people who are listening to us for recovery reasons and otherwise, and, you know, going through this period after going through loss or through any other kind of struggle you've been through this year. And it's obviously a tough time, you know, financially. This has been a difficult year from the, you know, economic crisis point of view. So whatever you need to do to keep yourself as safe through this period as possible and to be as connected to it as possible. I just saw a lot of messaging out there that was like either very perfectionistic or very like, here's the list of 40 things you have to do this holiday period. And it was like, this, the number one thing you need to do is chill out, take the pressure off. It's going to be okay. 2024 is coming. I don't think there's any major cults who have predicted the end of the world at the end of 2023. I could have missed it though. So the next year is coming. There is going to be room to breathe, and there is going to be, you know, support on the other side of this period. I know it can be tricky with treatment team members away and all that sort of stuff. So if you haven't already, maybe hearing this conversation could be a good prompt for you to unpack it with your treatment team member as far as some of these strategies and some of this mindset stuff. But yeah, my biggest piece of advice for sure is don't see it as one big scary disaster. It just doesn't have to be.
Yeah, I think, you know, just because of the mad rush to the end of the year and Christmas shenanigans, we can really forget, like you were saying, to just stop and exhale and take in the year that has been. Mm-hmm. And I think being able to reflect on the whole year that has been, it really gives you space to acknowledge the wins and also see how far you've come. And I think almost there can be this resistance to doing this, particularly if you had, coming back to this idea of certain ideas and expectations on where you wanted to be in your recovery or even just in your life by this point. But it's also this really potent opportunity to scratch any of the ideas of success in recovery that are actually maybe limiting your ability to embrace the very non-linear nature of, again, not just recovery, but also of life, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think that time is not always an indicator of growth, right? How long something takes matters much less than how much you learn and evolve as you move through the process, right?
Yes.
Because really, who you are when you get to the end is going to be the person you have become along the way. So it's not about the obvious goal points, right? It's about how you stop and show up for yourself every single day. So like, for example, maybe you're not achieving like the flexibility you want with your meal plan, but maybe you actually are trying a lot more consistently. And maybe when you don't achieve something that you desired, but you tried, your inner narrative is shifting to a more kind nature. And maybe you're speaking to yourself with more compassion and less criticism. And that would be a wonderful achievement. And that really highlights that highlights how you're actually changing, not just the boxes that are being ticked, right? Because it's not about the milestones. It's about how you felt and how you grew along the way.
Yes. Yeah. Because you've probably had this conversation with clients many a time where it's like, if I could just wake up and be, and I'm like, yeah, but that's a scam because that's too good to be true. Anything that's too good to be true is probably a scam. And that's really relevant, especially because obviously we wanted to talk about like reflecting on the year, some of our reflections on the year, and then prompting other people to maybe use some of this holiday period as a positive reflection on the year. Because what you're saying is so much of what I was thinking about in preparation for this episode and that reflection, which is that, you know, probably for the last year, I've really finally felt the full fruition of all like the hard work that I've done couple of years prior. Like it finally feels like it, the last domino kind of fell. And it was like, oh, this is what all that hard work was for. This is like, everything feels like it's now slotting into place. Where I hypocritically, when I'm like with clients, well, you can't speed run to the final result. For years, I was like, I just want this to make sense. I just want this to have meaning. I just want to learn the big lesson and for life to be better. Like, and I'm doing all the work. I'm ticking the boxes. I'm going to therapy. I'm doing the mindfulness practices. I'm journaling and I hate journaling. And it just wasn't getting me anywhere. And it was because of that very thing that you're saying, which is like the making of you is in all of those little struggles and all of those little wins. And yes, the goal here is to get to a point of like, okay, it feels like I've made some progress here, but you can't have that feeling unless you are willing to sit in the shit for a little while.
Yes. And it's also, you know, I love kind of thinking about it this way. It's like, maybe you weren't ready for the lessons yet, right? Mm. Like, still had more experiences to have, so you could then also handle the progress that was, you know, going to happen and getting to this point and like really achieving, being like, cool, it feels like it's the last domino. Like 3 years ago, you probably weren't ready for the domino to fall, right? Like you maybe mentally or whatever, it would have been a different situation and maybe your life wouldn't have been able to support the progress that you made, right? I mean, I'm very much everything happens for a reason, but you know, I've definitely been at points where like something hasn't worked out and I'm like, what is the lesson? Mm-hmm. I am listening. I don't know what it is. Like, I just want the lesson.
Yeah.
Maybe the lesson there is you can't resist life. Like, you have to just go with the flow, and things are going to happen at different points that are going to teach us different lessons. And I think every single year we change so much as people, and every single year I get to the end of the year and do my reflection that I'm like, whoa, big year. And I say that every single year. I think it's particularly, you know, I'm in my late 20s, I'm 28. I think particularly in your 20s, so much happens in your life so quickly and everything feels important. Sort of like, you know, people come into your life and people leave your life and you move, and you get inspired by things and you're uninspired by things and your values change. And it's this like very rapid, fast changing. And this again is why it's so important to reflect at the end of the year, or just always really, to really like put those things together. Cause you now have more clarity, right? About being like, oh, this happened and I learned this. And like, this was the necessary step. And this is the work I had to do to get to this point. Right. Yeah, and everything matters. I love, look, it is always in retrospect, right? We look at our life and we're like, oh yes, I had to, you know, meet this person to understand this about myself, or I had to do this job that didn't work so that I could figure out that that wasn't it, but also I got this great skill set or whatever it might be. Right. Or I met this person, they led me onto this idea, or whatever it is. But everything kind of matters and everything's important. And that's why I think it's really beautiful to really take some time and space to yourself to really reflect on the year, which is what we're going to do a little bit. I think we have sort of put together just a bunch of reflection questions, which we will give to everyone as well if you want to do your own little reflections. But just some of them, won't read them all out, are things like thinking about what were some of the most memorable lessons or learnings that the year offered you, or as the year comes to a close, what is it that you're going to be saying goodbye to? Or what were some key turning points for you this year? Or even what was your best failure or most underrated success? Or what was even some favorite books or conversations or meals that you shared? And even then thinking about from there, what is it that you want to embody going in to the new year? I think this is one of the things that we've kind of touched on already, but maybe my biggest learning of the year was this idea of timelines just have been continued to be dismantled this year, which I think is probably relatable to a lot of people. But this year I have really put those timelines in the bin and have set fire to the bin. Like there is no timelines anymore. But I think it's really difficult to not feel like, you know, you have to achieve these milestones, and yes, they do stem from dominant society. And then it's really easy to feel guilt around maybe not achieving them here, or exactly the same conversation of not achieving things by Christmas or by a certain age, because there is so much pressure on us to achieve this bucket of unrealistic expectations by 30, and then all these other things by 40. And then what is my biggest fear is, what if I get these things and then I'm not happy because I was living my life for someone else and not for me? Like, that is my biggest fear. Right. And all I want to do is live my life for me and make bold decisions because I'm curious, not because there's this expectation, right? Like this year, for example, I moved away physically and also metaphorically from this really stable existence to be nomadic, and with the intention of learning about myself and wanting to do that through new experiences and places and people. And this year, through doing that, I feel like for the first time in my life, I've really released myself from those expectations. And honestly, the minute that I freed myself from all those ideas and all those formulas about how my life is supposed to work out, I could actually focus on what was making me happy and the areas that I actually wanted to grow in, not just what was maybe expected of me. And I mean, I say this to clients all the time, stay in your own lane. And I think me doing that in a greater life sense, like learning to run my own race, right? And I just even learned this year, like this way of being and just staying in my own lane in life, it supports me becoming more and more myself.
Beautiful. I just want to say, for anyone watching this, and for you, Holly, it looks like I'm glaring at you, it's because I've got like Sydney light just streaming and I have very sensitive eyes. So I worry that when people watch this, they're like, oh, man, just sits there and just glares at her. Like, what a bitch. Like, I can't see, but the lighting's great. Yeah, I think that's very, I love, because I love when we talk and I'm like, you know, where are you and what are you doing? And I know you've got upcoming plans for like more nomadic stuff, because I just think it's so brave. And it shows so much resilience and self-reliance and in that sort of positive use of those attributes, right? And it's such an opportunity, because it's one thing I certainly don't regret about my 20s and my early 30s was like my nature to go and explore and be curious and do things by myself. And I think that really set me up for where I am in my life now, which is probably my biggest learning of the year, which is self-trust. Like, ooh, the mounting evidence that my instinct is a pretty good one, and that, like I was saying, the years preceding this one, I had to make some very, very difficult decisions. I have spoken at length about all the stuff that I had gone through sort of 2019, 2020. And because of a lot of those events, I had to make some really, really difficult choices around, say, people who were in my life, relationships I had, friendships I had, you know, family relationships that I had, and being really, really torn between what was comfortable and staying in like sort of cycles that weren't necessarily healthy or in tune with where I wanted my life to go or how I wanted my life to be or how I wanted to feel. And knowing that I had to make the uncomfortable decision without the immediate payoff, that I had to make room in my life for friendships that were healthier, for connections that were more relevant to where my life is and the things that are important to me, that I have had to make decisions about what are my priorities, right? Like this business, what we are doing, this mission that we have with Beyond Body and with this work that we're doing is so important to me. It takes up a lot of time. It is a hugely, like in some ways, it has a lot of emotional weight to it. It has a lot of stress to it, but it's so important to me. I also want to have a baby in a couple of years. I've had to make some decisions this year about sort of some of those really not difficult but pressing things that I have to think about in terms of not just what my life looks like now but choices I'm making now for what I want my life to look like in a couple of years, which is that I want to be a mum. So this year has really been about not just putting my faith in the fact that I can trust myself, but finally seeing the results of, yes, Mia, you can trust yourself. Your instinct is a reliable one. Do I get it perfect every single time? No, but I have a pretty good sense of where I want to be and how to get there. And I'm not someone who's like, what's your 3-year plan or 5-year plan or 10-year plan? I've never had that. I've just always had this strong, innate sense of this feeling of like I'm being tugged in the right direction. And this year, I finally feel like I reconnected to that. Not that I lost it, but I reconnected to my trust of that. Yeah. Because after going through particularly trauma, trauma is a real aberration to those things. It tells you you can't trust yourself. You can't trust your instinct because the trauma kind of trumps your personality. It trumps your true instincts. And so I really felt like all this beautiful self-trust that I'd built up through recovery kind of got pulled away from me for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And through a lot of hard work, through doing EMDR and a lot of therapy and, you know, being in some pretty dark places the last couple of years, which, you know, one day I might feel more comfortable sort of sharing at length, this year was like, okay, the other shoe has dropped now. Like that all had a purpose and a reason. And a huge part of it is just like the peace and calm of like, no, I've got this. Like I have great backup and I have great support, but my best support, my first go-to is always myself, where it wasn't for a couple of years. I couldn't trust myself to make the right decisions.
Thank you for sharing that. I think that's such a, you know, we're saying different things, but we're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
I think what you're really talking about there, it sounds like almost is just like coming back to yourself and trusting that self, right? And I think what you have done over the last few years is create this, many years, 10 years, is create this community of healing. And I think, you know, there's so many people that would be listening to this that you were the first, you know, point of call, and like your YouTube videos were the first thing that really gave them hope that, oh, I can do this thing. And this is actually really, really important work. And then, and I think, you know, that was my experience. Absolutely. Like the first idea I even had of recovery came from watching your YouTube videos. I think so many people would share that experience as well. And then, you know, for you to then have created this business from that, and to be able to just continue to ripple out the work that you're doing, and whether it's through the training of the coaches that you do or this podcast or our retreats, it is such deep heart work. And realistically, you know, maybe you wouldn't feel so connected to this mission and to connected to this work and be able to show up in the way that you do if you hadn't gone through all this adversity that really made you figure out, okay, I need to learn to trust myself, and I need to figure out what is right for me and what is not right for me, and honor that right and continue to move forwards with that really strong intuitive feeling of, okay, I have to make some big decisions, and I actually just have to trust if this is going to be the right thing for me, and maybe it's going to work out and maybe it's not going to work out. But it feels like, you know, it's amazing for you to get to the end of this year and be like, whoa, it makes sense. It's one of those moments, right, where it's not necessarily this like obvious big milestone, but it's just like a deep feeling of like, hey, this is it. Like that thing makes sense because this thing now makes sense.
Yeah, it's that fulfillment feeling, right? Yeah. It's like that. If it's, for want of a better word, like it's feeling full, like it is feeling like calm, like that weighted calm where it's like, I feel very solid in my life and in my choices and in my instincts. And thank you for saying that. That was beautiful. I really appreciate it. Just make me uncomfortable at all. Yeah, it's been such an important year for so many like practical reasons, but it's been an important year because for a long time, what really was getting me through, and this is what I try to make really clear to people going through recovery when they're like, oh, all this work just for recovery, because even when I lost my compass for a couple of years, I could always remind myself, and I was like, I can't trust myself, and like I'm behaving in these ways that is not me. And like, what is going on? This is before I understood the symptoms of trauma. Yeah. And I was like, what is going on? Like, I can't trust myself to like get myself back on course or to get myself back in the right headspace and, you know, make good decisions. And then I would always say, well, that's not necessarily true. Cause like, look what you did in recovery. Like that was all driven by your instinct to like get yourself back to a good place, but it was hard work plus time. And that's the thing, is that sometimes I'll meet people in recovery who are like, before we even get to the first session, they're like, so what am I doing? And tell me and give me the activities and what are the goals? And I'm like, whoa, this isn't just hard work. This is hard work plus time. And the time part is so hard when you're like, I have all the answers. I know what to do. I know how to get there. And it's like, that's great. But the pace is just as important as like the output of what you need to do to get there.
Absolutely. You can't rush your healing, right? Mm-hmm. And I think this whole piece about trust and coming back to this idea as well of timelines, it's to be able to make decisions in your life that you feel like are in alignment for you. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time that is doing the uncomfortable thing, like you said, with no instant reward, but hey, bingo, like this is life, right? Like that's bingo. Mia's picked up on Mia. She says bingo, and now I cannot stop saying it.
Finger gun and bingo. Yeah.
Bingo. but that's what it is. You have to be uncomfortable without knowing if you're going to land on your feet. Recovery in its essence is letting go of something in hope of something better. Like, and that goes to say it for all these experiences we're talking about. And this conversation around trust, because, you know, even me like setting aside whatever it was, the timelines, that looks like having to trust myself that I could make a decision and it could be the wrong decision, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. It's kind of different, I guess, when you get into your 30s and 40s, but also yes, but no, particularly in your 20s, like any of my clients that are in that age bracket, I say like, this is your time to make mistakes and learn from them. Make the wrong choice, you guess again, and that's it at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. But you know, that could literally look like, for some people, maybe it's like moving overseas when you're 40, or it's starting over again when you're 30, and then starting over again when you're 30.
Business when you're 60, right? Finally doing your dream job. No,
leaving a relationship that you've outgrown, right? Like really like kicking up that side hustle, like starting a new hobby, or leaving a conversation or a narrative that doesn't serve you anymore, right? Like some of these like big moves of trust that will be the biggest payoffs, even if they aren't, you know, the next quote unquote right thing.
Yes, absolutely. If you could sum up your year in a word, because I think mine would be fulfillment, what do you think yours would be?
I think mine is growth.
Mm.
Or maybe like, it's two words, but hard work. 2022 was very much me finding my path, and 2023 was me growing my path.
Yeah.
So that was more than one word, but you got the gist.
Yeah.
What other of these questions, what other ones resonated with you?
What areas did you see improvement and growth that you didn't expect?
Area of growth that I had in my life this year that I didn't expect was family relationships was a big one for me. My year was sort of, 2022, like I had fun. Like it was a fun year. I was living in Byron, just surfing all the time. Like life was good. 2023, I've spent a lot more time with the family, and that has been a really special thing for me. I think I'm at this really unique cross-section of life with my family where we have four generations, and you know, that is very impermanent. And it's super, super special. And being able to see, like, the kids are no longer the kids, like we're the ones having babies and, you know, being very responsible and running businesses and doing these things. So just to be able to see the four generations around for, you know, it'll probably only be a few years is really special. So it feels very important for me to spend a lot of time just soaking up those moments. So family connection has been a big one for me this year. And that has also looked like, you know, with other family members, putting in boundaries that I've never had before.
Yeah.
As an attempt to be closer to people. Cause you know, people often, if you're on the receiving end of hearing getting a boundary, often you can think that that person's trying to push you away, but really boundaries are someone's way of keeping you close.
True.
Yeah. So that's been also having boundaries with family. So I think I've really grown in that sense of really also just being able to be myself in family dynamics. Like I was saying before, you know, I used to experience feeling really unknown in family dynamics, kind of like a bit of a black sheep in my family.
Me too. Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
But even just owning that, right? Yeah. Has been really special. And then also, so yeah, that was an area of growth I did not expect this year.
Yeah, I think that it can be really hard. Like I've always been a pretty like non-traditional person. I get that from my dad. My dad was very, he just didn't live traditionally in that he was an entrepreneur. He was incredibly creative. He would like pick up and move his life around. He just didn't live in boxes. I think that's part of why his marriages didn't work, was because he for so long was trying to be the guy in like the Ralph Lauren polo shirt and like the, you know, nuclear family. And it just wasn't him at all. And I'm very much the same. Like my timeline is, especially I think as a woman, I just feel sometimes like there's conversations that I can't be a part of because my brain just isn't necessarily wired the same way as a lot of people's might be conventionally. Yes. Like for me, having a child by myself is my ideal scenario, which I know is odd to people, but that's my idea. Not that I'm averse to partnership, but having a child by myself is my ideal option. I'm always open to life going in different directions, but that's where my life is going. The most two most important things to me are business and baby. And this year has really been me kind of embracing that as well. I think that part of that self-trust thing, but also being like, not only am I okay with the fact that I'm just not a very traditional person, but also I quite like that about myself. I quite like that anytime I think about trying to cram myself into something conventional, I feel like I could have a panic attack. Like you picture me in a bridal gown and I would be like doing a Carrie Bradshaw and ripping it off with hives all over my body. Like it's just not me. I think it's wonderful and something I love to celebrate in others if that's what they want for their lives. But this year, and it's probably getting older thing too, and just giving far less of a shit of what anyone might think. But yeah, I certainly come from a family where I'm a bit more of the black sheep and where my choices are very different to everybody else's. And kind of not being ashamed of that, but certainly not highlighting it. Whereas now I'm just like, I just don't care. I'm busy. I don't care. Too busy to care. What was the question? What was it?
What area? I actually don't know. It was what areas did you grow in this year?
You didn't expect. Can you imagine how Holly and I get through meetings? We don't. She has to put me back on the rails all the time. So what areas did you see improvement and growth that you didn't expect? This actually ties back to something we've talked about before. You know how when we did the traits episode, I mentioned, like you said, that impulsivity was one of yours with the purchasing of the peacock. Mm-hmm. And I said that like my location changing impulsivity was definitely like a trait that I had to keep in check, especially at this point in my life, so that it's congruent with my goals. I feel like I really embrace that and surrender to that this year. It hasn't been comfortable to not pick up and go when that instinct jumps up, but I haven't. I've sat with the discomfort and I've sat with the opportunity to look at my surroundings and try to reconnect to it and try to find gratitude for where I am versus like the potential of somewhere else. Because I always come back to that quote, if you always think happiness is somewhere else, it will never be where you are. I think you can replace happiness with any word. If you always think calm is somewhere else, it'll never be where you are. If you always think peace or acceptance or whatever, it will never be where you are if you're always chasing it down somewhere else. So being able to stay committed to that goal of, you know, not acting on that impulse has been really challenging, but that full weight of that pride on the other side of like, yeah, I now have evidence that that impulse can serve me sometimes, but there is a benefit to pushing past it and going, no, like I'm going to sit with whatever is going on and not try to run away from it.
Yeah. I agree with that so much. I think, you know, all these things we're saying and all these examples we're giving, it really highlights that always so much of the growth can loop back to this idea of each year you get to know yourself a bit better. Mm. And that's understanding how you navigate the world and what's important to you and when you need to stay and when you need to go and when you need to be in the discomfort and when you need to give yourself flexibility to just enjoy life and not be doing the work. And then sometimes you do need to be doing the work. Mm-hmm. And there's no clear path. No one's path is going to be the same as anyone else's. Mm-hmm. And you never know as well. And this is what I love about life and everything is that you never know what you're going to get from an experience, mm-hmm. right? And it's always so important to put yourself and to do hard things. Realistically, we're all supposed to do hard things. Like even when we started doing, like this is, if I was to answer the question, in what ways do I feel more like myself this year? Mm. When I jumped on the bandwagon of podcast with you, which would have been 6 months ago or so, I couldn't tell you how nervous I was. Like I genuinely could have cried with anxiety. Like I'm actually someone whom, like when I get really, really stressed, I will do a loud squeal. Like that's like how nervous I get. But you know, even after we did the first podcast, I got off and I was like, I feel like $1 million. I enjoyed that so much.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I look really forward to podcasting day. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, it was something I wanted to do and I wanted to say yes, but it also really stressed me out, right? And I think you don't get the growth unless you do the hard thing. I think consistent discomfort is the price of accelerated growth, right? And like even then coming back to this question, I feel like, you know, I love podcasting as a way of connecting with people and sharing messages and sharing stories, because I think for me I can be so much more like just colorful and just myself in this way. Like I love, you know, podcasting over something like social media, because I just think it's such a way of connecting with people in this intimate way. And I think even through doing that, I've had a space because of you to, you know, share my voice and what's important and opinion. So even that has really supported me just to trust that more as well in this environment. So like, you know, that was not something that I thought I would get from pushing myself to do this like additional work thing.
Yes. And you're phenomenal at it. I mean, I've never had the feedback on podcast episodes that I've had. Like my guests have been amazing. So that's obviously, we get feedback about that stuff, but just the light bulb moments that people are experiencing and like people using these episodes, like as meal support, like I see comments like that all the time. And I hear from professionals as well who, you know, will use these episodes as resources for their clients. And even my own clients, when they've got their list of distractions, they're like, I'm sitting out the front with the dog watching one of your podcast episodes. And I'm like, great, enjoy whatever dickhead story I'm telling this week. I think that one of the ways that I've, you know, been able to feel more like myself or most like myself this year has been more connection. has been us even connecting on things like this or doing the retreat together and bringing people into my life and even into my, as I call it, like my mission and all that sort of stuff more intimately, and making more space for friendships which are more aligned with like where my life is now. That was a big change I made in the last couple of years, was really painfully letting go of friendships that just were not healthy or aligned or right for me. And so then for a period of time, I really did isolate myself. That was an important part of sort of my healing process with the trauma work I was doing, etc. I was quite electively, voluntarily isolated, probably with the exception of, say, Josie, for a long time, because I needed to be. I really needed to like be in my cave, licking my wounds, like getting myself ready to get out the other side. But when you've been in the cave for so long, that can start to be habitual, and you start to kind of, you become averse to connection and vulnerability and, you know, allowing people in and surrendering to that. And I really wasn't anticipating that this year. And I certainly wasn't, because I was like, I'm not like that anymore. I don't do that anymore. Like this, these events have changed me. I have to be hypervigilant and on guard, and like, I can't trust people. And being able to bring, and not like bring old friendships and new friendships into my life and new opportunities for connection and collaboration, has been like, oh no, this is who I am. I haven't been changed. I have learned a lot, but it doesn't mean that I am not that person anymore who needs people and enjoys people. You just become more discerning. You just become more savvy and at knowing and recognizing who your people are, and again trusting yourself that when that alarm goes off, if someone's in your presence and you're like, I don't think this is the right combination, it's okay to trust yourself and say, not for me, not for me.
And just on that as well, I think this is such a hard truth of life, that what is right for you is not often not easy, and it's hard to get right. Mm-hmm. And that does look like often leaving relationships and environments that do not serve you, also like ways of thinking that do not serve you as well.
Yeah.
I think people would like to be like, oh, you know, I got on the right path and it was just easy peasy and smooth sailing and it was rainbows and cappuccinos and whatnot. But it's not, like often it's really, really hard to do the thing that is in alignment. And all you get often is that little pang of intuition being like, this isn't it, and I have no other information.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. I remember feeling that when I drove the day I left Byron this year, like packed up my little vintage car, couldn't have had more stuff in it. It was like Tetris. I packed it incredibly well.
Yeah.
But I remember driving away and I had put together this like goodbye playlist, as it was called, all these like sad country music. And I didn't necessarily have this clear reason as to, was this the right thing for me to do? I just knew that I had to leave, and I actually didn't know what it was going to look like. Did I think that I was going to leave for the entire year? No, yeah. I did not think that. And I just sort of knew. And that day was super, super hard. It was like tears and confusion. But I also feel like one of these reflection questions is, what were some of the most memorable days of your year? And that was one of them, because I didn't know if I was doing the right thing, and I didn't have to know. I just had to trust it. And that was it. Yeah. I think that is like, that's recovery in a nutshell. Sometimes you just actually have to trust that there's going to be something brighter upon the horizon, and you don't know what it looks like yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you heard this Taylor Swift song, It's Time to Go?
No, but I'm playing that right after this.
You have to, because like that day that you just that day you just described is like the perfect like driving down the road, like leaving something behind. It's like, it's basically just that feeling of like, I don't actually know for what reason I need to make this decision. It's just feeling that it's time to leave, and no idea what's on the other side of that. But and I think we talked about this with people at the retreat. It even relates back to recovery, in that I didn't go into recovery because I knew what was on the off ramp. Like I had been on the roundabout of eating disorder for years and years and years and years and years, and the roundabout had gone from like something that felt like it was promising to then just something that felt safe to then something I was too scared to get off because I'd done it for so long. Yeah. And then I got off the roundabout finally, not because I was like, oh, I can see what's down the exit and life's going to be wonderful and this is going to be so worth it. I just could not do another lap around that roundabout.
That's all I knew. That was all the information I had, was like, I cannot look at this roundabout anymore. Screw it. I don't care where this exit takes me. I just have to, I have to make a change. Something has to shift here.
Mm.
That is the hardest. I think that's what is so hard about recovery, but it's what sets you up for decisions like what you made, and trusting that instinct, because recovery is action led, thought followed. You have to take the action first before the brain starts sending up the thoughts that say, yes, you're safe. This is okay. This is the right thing to do. And I credit recovery all the time to the fact that it meant that I could travel alone. I could start a business. I can keep growing the business. I can know that I'm making the right decisions around relationships and friendships, because I have so much evidence that, yes, I can take the action without the comfortability of the thoughts and feelings feeling aligned to that action. And that with time, those things will come together. But it's a lesson, like the stuff that we share, this is not recovering from being a human being. We're still learning all this stuff. We're still building that confidence on top of that beautiful foundation that recovery gave us. It doesn't mean that we go, oh my God, challenges, what are they? I love challenges. I love feeling uncomfortable and awful. Bring it on. Of course not. It's just your confidence in your resilience and ability to take care of yourself grows stronger each time you're sort of tested.
I think for anyone, if you have ever had that feeling, there's got to be more to life.
Mm.
Yeah, there probably is.
Yeah. Like, you're probably stuck in ruts and routines and cycles, and life is probably feeling very small and very limited, and has probably the shine has gone off it. And even just the slightest change, the reaching out to someone you haven't spoken to for a long time who you miss, or going back to therapy, or getting out of some dynamic that feels like it might be the thing that is just making life a little bit miserable. It doesn't have to be a total renovation of your whole life, just taking the first little step to shift that monotonous, is this really it? I felt like that for so long a couple of years ago. It was like, is this it? It's not even like it's awful. It's just, there's no excitement. There's nothing to look forward to. I just feel nothing all the time. And there weren't any major things that I did to change my life, but even just the doing of something is, can change that mindset very quickly.
And maybe like this is that holiday season where you do those little things. And maybe that is literally talk to a stranger or tell the people that you love them, right? Tell people you care them. Or if someone has played an important role in your healing this year, tell them, right? Or like, do something that makes you scared.
Yes.
As simple as that.
Yeah. And spend some time looking at, like we said, we'll put some of these questions and reflections in the show notes and the description box on YouTube. Spend some time, like, make this holiday season, maybe your biggest goal is just to reflect. Write down an exhaustive list of everything you've achieved in recovery, and even beyond, like, your recovery, but in your life, every little minute detail of every little step forward that you took, not just like, oh, more food freedom. In what ways? What were the specific challenges? Like, honor that person over the last 12 months who worked so hard to get you to wherever you are now, and really go back and have a look at what they had to do to get you here. Because I think sometimes we get lost in the result versus like really honoring how we actually, like, the map that got us here, and how we put our current minds into our past selves and go, well, why didn't I have it figured out? It's like, because she didn't know everything you know now. And it's amazing that she figured it out and got you here. So, like, give her a little bit of credit.
Yeah.
So what is one thing, if I know that we've got a lot of really exciting stuff coming up in 2024, but if we were to encourage other people to sort of think about just one thing on the horizon next year for them to anchor to, talking about some of these anchor points, what's one of your 2024 anchor points of what you're looking forward to next year?
You said one, but just a few.
You're not following any of the rules.
I don't do rules.
Natural rebel.
I'm so looking forward to more Beyond Body retreats.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also very much looking forward to continuing to be nomadic and probably moving to Tuscany and writing a cookbook and lots of days in the sun, I would say.
Amazing. I have a similar answer to you. I think the retreats, I mean, we're about to do a chat about that, which will go up next year. Because it was such a transformative, life-changing experience, selfishly, for me. The feedback tells us it was for our guests too, so it's okay for me to say, oh, and for me too. It really was an extraordinary experience and such a fire lighter. Like, I just feel totally, totally focused, connected, completely motivated, and really got to bask in the power of what we can do in this sort of lived experience space. And when we're applying purpose and meaning to a really, really challenging process for people, it was just one of like the most magical experiences of my life. So more of that, please, which is on the cards.
it's very much, very, very much.
Yes.
In the works. And I think, even just like have so much gratitude for like clients and other practitioners and carers and parents and, you know, even just people listening to this podcast that really support our ventures to be able to support in new ways in the recovery space. And then, you know, ultimately support the healing of individuals, because we are so excited for 2024. It kind of just feels like this is just the beginning.
Yeah, I completely agree. There's so much that we're building towards and building together. I am extremely proud of our team. We're doing a training tonight, which is not a training. It's like a holiday party virtually. Luckily for you and I, it's 1 o'clock. I mean, I'm not judging anyone else on the team. AC was like 6 in the morning. I was like, I won't judge you. Just drink all night and then end the night first. But I am so incredibly proud of our team. I know that this isn't an easy space to be in or to navigate sometimes. And the caliber of the people that we have working for us, not just from an ability standpoint, not just from how good they are as coaches, and they are very good. Pretty much our entire team is waitlisted and has been for a long time. So we have a very in-demand team. But as you would know from our, you know, quarterly trainings and our monthly roundtables, that this is an amazing, very passionate group of people who really care, And that's as wonderful a coach as people can be. If they don't have that passion and they're not plugged into what recovery should really be bringing people, which is not just a bunch of box tickers, it's potentially like full transformation of all the key areas of your life. I'm just incredibly proud of the team, very grateful for the team. And similarly to you, incredibly proud and grateful for our clients, for their carers, for their parents, for their partners, for anyone who's been involved in Beyond Body or trusted Beyond Body with their recovery this past 12 months. And we have some extremely exciting stuff planned for you, not just next year, but well into the future. We're not going anywhere.